The Biennial Kobzer Literary Award, sponsored by the Taras Shevchenko Foundation, recognizes outstanding contributions to Canadian literary arts through the author's presentation of a Ukrainian-Canadian theme with literary merit. Janice Kulik-Kiefer, author of The Ladies' Lending Library, was the recipient of the 2008 Kobzer Literary Award. This year, it was renowned Canadian author Randall Maggs for his acclaimed hockey saga, Nightwork, the Sawchuk Poems. This book recounts the personal and public life of Terry Sawchuk, the premier goalie in the era of the original Six National Hockey League. Sawchuk was a Ukrainian boy from Winnipeg who made good and made many Canadians proud, whether of Ukrainian extraction or not, whether hockey fans or not. Randall Maggs is a poet, editor, artistic director of Newfoundland's March Hare Festival and a professor of literature at Memorial University. He joins me now by telephone from his home in Newfoundland. Hello, Randall, and thanks for joining us.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and congratulations on this wonderful award.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to me. It's a lucrative money award, but I'll tell you, the thing I really prize is the small statue of the Kobzar. I mean, the money will get spent, but that that statue, Leo Moles, it's a miniature of the Kobzar. That really meant something to me, and what a time I had getting on the airplane.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't leaving it in my suitcase, I'll tell you that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So was the award a surprise to you?
Yes, it was. There was one person of the four that I thought was a shoe-in for it. So, yes, it was a surprise, very pleasant surprise, but I wasn't expecting it.
Now, what inspired you to write this book about Terry Sawchuk?
Well, I had played a good part of my hockey in Winnipeg, and of course that's where Terry's from.
Right.
So on the same rinks as him, up in the north end of Winnipeg, we go up and play against a lot of these, a lot of the teams, and Elmwood, I think, was, or East Kildonan would have been the area where he grew up, and so we just always knew about him, and I kind of got away from the game for a while. You always knew there was something at the end of his career that never got properly explained, and that kind of, you know, that back my mind for years, and then I guess it was, oh God, I stopped watching hockey when the six-team league folded up, and it wasn't until in the 1990s my son got me interested in it again. I'd always watched the international, and I was doing a reading out in Saskatoon, staying with a friend in Allen, Saskatchewan, and on the way into Saskatoon to do the reading, we went by the small town of Floral, which is the most famous birthplace of any hockey player in the history of the game. That's Gordie Howe's birthplace.
Ah.
And I saw the name up on the grain elevator, and it just kind of hit me right between the eyes like a crowbar, and it just kind of took me back into my past, and it sort of was born out of that.
Okay, and then you've got a hockey background. You said you watched hockey, but you also played hockey.
Yes, I did. Yes, I played. Well, I played to junior, you know. But I didn't have the kind of skills you need to break into the six-team league. I'm not sure if I even had the nature for it. My brother played professionally. He was 5 years younger than I am, and he came up and played 12 years in the NHL and WHA. So we're a hockey family, for sure.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So this is a book of poems, which makes sense because you're a poet and a literature prof.
Mm-hmm.
The poetry is pretty gritty, though, but it's a short form of writing. And that fits with the abbreviated sort of communications now that we're becoming used to with the Internet. But I'm a writer myself, and I know that easy and fast to read is often the very opposite to write. Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, you know, I had a lot of other things going at the same time. I spent a lot of time in Ireland, and I was putting together with a colleague from here and another from Ireland two anthologies in that period, so I had a lot of other projects on, but I really spent 10 years on that off and on, working out of the Hall of Fame, and it was a project I never tired of. It was my refuge, really. I talked to a lot of people. It was just the kind of thing that you couldn't rush. I needed to talk to a lot of people. What I was trying to do was, you know, Terry had a reputation for being sullen and surly and hostile with fans and with his own teammates, and there's an element of truth in that. But I wanted to give him a chance to speak for himself, so what I just did was tried to see his side of the story. It takes time. you know, to absorb enough details and to reach a person to the point where you feel some sort of confidence doing that.
Right.
So 10 years, pretty much, was the period that I spent on it.
Now, for those who aren't maybe familiar with hockey, and or just maybe know the name Terry, but when did he die?
Terry died in 1970. He was 40 years old. He was still actively playing. He was on the New York Rangers roster. So, you know, one of the titles I toyed around with was the long career and short life of Terry Sajic. He was a hockey player all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always kind of a mystery as to how he had died. He'd been involved in a scrap with one of his, actually a roommate and a teammate at the same time. But my book doesn't deal with that because I wasn't really interested in what happened to at the end of Terry's life. I was more concerned with why it happened, and that put the focus for me squarely on what life was like as a goaltender in the NHL in the six-team league in the 50s, you know, 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. What? So where did you get a lot of your material?
Well, I read a lot, of course, and I knew a lot, though I'd forgotten that I knew it, but I read a lot. My brother was a great source for me. I mean, I know the game of hockey, but I didn't know the professional game, and my brother is very quiet, very observant kind of person, and he was able to provide me with the kinds of things the guys would or wouldn't talk about on the bus, for example, you know. And then I interviewed, I spent a lot of time talking to players from that period and referees from that period and fans from that period. You know, I must have talked to 40 or 50 of the players from Terry's day. And I had it all in my head. I just carried this around in my head, and then I just started writing the poems. They came out one at a time without any particular idea of organization. It just kind of spilled out of me, and I got very close to him, I think. I hope I did.
Neat. And what influence do you think that Terry's Ukrainian background had on his professional success and or the tragic aspects of his personal life?
Well, you know, I'm sure that it did. I mean, it's always, you hate to be presumptuous and say, well, I understood this about his life. I'm sure that it did. I think, you know, just in being an immigrant, living in, like they lived in the North End, which would have been one of the poorer parts of the city. I mean, you could be Jewish, you could be, you know, any generation if you come out of the poorer part of town, and any immigrant's going to do that, you
right.
know. I think that was a problem with him to some extent. I mean, he was a very proud guy, so it would have affected him in that way. I don't know whether, you know, the stereotype of the doer slab, I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but I mean, he was a man who seemed to be unhappy so much of the time. He lost a brother. His brother was 18 when he died. Terry was 11. That's got nothing to do with where you come from.
Right.
His mother, that was the second son, his mother lost, and she kind of withdrew from Terry at that point. So, you know, again, that's something I think that shaped his personality. It's got nothing to do with his Ukrainian background.
Right.
In the West, all of us were brought up to keep things inside, keep things to yourself. Is that Ukrainian or is that Western? Is that Presbyterian?
Right.
You know, I'm sure that his Ukrainianness shaped his personality, obviously, and his character, but I just think it was broader than that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not of Ukrainian background yourself. You did say earlier that you're second-generation Canadian, though.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of a mixture. We're Swedish and Irish and West Country English, which is Celtic, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I understand that whole thing as well.
Sure.
But, you know, it seemed to me that people in Western Canada, you know, are used to new Canadians. You come to Newfoundland, my God. I've been in Newfoundland 32 years. It's still, you're from away, you know. It's an older culture.
Interesting.
But it seemed to me that the West was more open. But, you know, on the other hand, I mean, Margaret Lawrence wrote a wonderful novel, A Jest of God, that deals with the I don't know if you know that book, but it deals with a Ukrainian person and the kind of situation that he was in. And it wasn't pretty. There was a sense of that discrimination, absolutely for sure. And I think that maybe Terry felt that, you know.
Mm. Now you've been in Newfoundland for 32 years. You played hockey in Winnipeg, but you're actually a Vancouver boy.
Yes, well, that's right. Yeah, though, that's right. And my dad was Air Force, Canadian Air Force, so I've lived right across this country, and I consider myself a Canadian rather than a Newfoundlander or British Columbian.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only province I haven't lived in is PEI, but you know, I think I just try to hold the whole country in my head, and it's a marvelous place to be.
Absolutely.
And it was certainly a great place to be last month.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding, yeah. It was great to be here in Vancouver, too, last month.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
Now, you still hold Vancouver, though, kind of as home.
Yes, I do. I won't come back there. The west coast of Newfoundland is my home now. My ash is to go down this river that I'm looking at right now out through the window. But it still feels like home, you know, when I go back there, and maybe the prairie even more. I mean, Vancouver's changed so much since I was a kid. I'm quite partial to the islands still, but I go back on the prairie. I was back in Winnipeg. We, you know, I launched this book at the Hockey Hall of Fame, but I wanted to go right away to Winnipeg to launch it with the Ukrainian community, and so we went in and did a launch there, and, you know, Winnipeg has not changed that much. It's almost kind of like in a time warp. My house was there, the garage was there.
Almost, isn't it?
Well, the rink was there where we used to play. It was quite wonderful in a way, you know.
And Billy Mozienko's bowling lane is there, alley is there too, right?
Absolutely. No, it was just great to be back there. Very moving experience, that whole thing. So the Cubs are just kind of flowed out of that, and which is why I think I've been so moved by the whole thing.
Mm. Now, you are going to be here in Vancouver very soon, though.
Yeah,
and you'll be reading from your book.
Yes, I am. I'm reading on the first of April with Elizabeth Bashinsky, who was also shortlisted for the Cubs R, and we're reading at the UBC Bookstore, which is in Robson Square.
Okay, right downtown Vancouver. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Well, thanks so much for speaking with us, and congratulations again on your award.
So nice
and
to talk to you, Paulina.
It was wonderful. Thank you. And have a good trip out to Vancouver, and hope to meet up with you when you're here.
Yes, I hope we do, too.
Thanks, and congratulations again.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And I was speaking with Randall Maggs, the recipient of the 2010 Cobser Literary Award for his acclaimed hockey saga, Night Work, The Sawchuk Poems. And Randall will be in town reading from his book, and he'll be available to sign copies as well. That'll be Thursday, April 1st at the UBC Bookstore in Robson Square. That's at 800 Robson Street in downtown Vancouver between Hornby and Howe. And that'll be starting at 7 p.m. More details will be on the features page at the Nash Holis website, which is nashholis.com.